When I was turning 10 years old, my family moved from Akron, Ohio to basically the middle of a cornfield in western Pennsylvania. And the little village that we lived in was called Nineveh. My father was a pastor, and that was back in the days of CBs, Citizens Band radios, and his handle was Jonah. Pastor Jonah went to Nineveh. Now, in this area in Clarion County, it's about 90 miles north of Pittsburgh, almost everyone's last name was Weaver. So you were either a weaver or you wish you were a weaver. It just seemed like that. And you'll be happy to know they were German. And they had migrated from somewhere out here in eastern Pennsylvania and settled there in that beautiful country. And there was a lady. Her name was Dorothy Weaver, who it seemed as if she was everyone's grandmother. And what I realized was she was. Dorothy married a man, I didn't really know his name. Everybody called him Wick. Yep, W-I-C-K. And we hunted in Wick's Hollow. And we feared Wick, but we had a great time laughing and observing their six sons. Wick and Dorothy had six boys, and they were all boy. Those guys were some of the best softball players in the state of Pennsylvania. They had ASA softball state championships to prove it. Fast pitch, just crazy. And they were the biggest practical jokers. They all married and had children, and these children all went to the church my father pastored. Now, I bring up Dorothy not because she was famous, but because she was influential. Do not confuse fame with influence. Dorothy was a grandma. You know, when I was 9, I thought she was ancient. Truth is, she was probably in her 60s, and you know, she wasn't exactly beautiful, she wasn't well-spoken, she wasn't articulate, she wasn't necessarily a stylish dresser, but she was a woman of influence. Everybody liked Dorothy. She was a person who understood her role. I call her a Titus 2 woman. Read Titus 2, and you'll see Paul's instruction to Timothy about older women, that they ought to give their attention to caring for younger women, to guide them in the love and affection toward their husbands, the raising of their children, and the establishment of their homes. Dorothy was not a teacher. She was not a Sunday school teacher. She was not employed per se. She was industrious and found a way to stretch a dollar. And her husband was a heavy equipment operator, very much a guy in the garage with the grease, the tools, running graders, bulldozers, backhoes, that sort of thing. And Dorothy just held down the fort. She did some sewing and that sort of stuff on the side, but mostly she was just a very frugal, a very happy person who took seriously her role as a Christian. I wouldn't call her highly intelligent, but she was really smart. She was a woman of wisdom. A woman of wisdom who took divine direction from God. She had wisdom that worked, and it was obvious to everyone. And all these kids in the church, I kid you not, most of them really were her biological grandchildren. But I wanted to be her grandson. See, I thought she was really cool. She happened to be the coordinator of the nursery. Now, looking back, I think the reason she was the coordinator of the nursery is because she wanted her sons and their family to attend church. Her husband that I knew of was not a believer. And that I'll be cautious in saying that, but he never came to church. He always kind of impatiently was waiting for her in his car. He dropped her off, then was waiting for her after church, whatever. But Dorothy ran the nursery. And her sons, most of them came to church, and grandchildren, whether they were a little older, may have helped Dorothy with the nursery. But there were babies everywhere. And everybody trusted Dorothy. She loved those kids, and she trained people to run the nursery the way she wanted it, and she ran a tight ship. Okay, so everybody up in church never thought twice about what's going on in the nursery because Dorothy had it handled. And now that I think of it, it's no wonder, because everyone up there is probably thinking, listen, this woman raised those guys, and she's still alive, and so are they. And so they didn't really worry about their kids. Now, I got to help with the nursery sometimes. Sometimes I wasn't allowed, and we won't go into that. But I always thought Dorothy was so cool. But I haven't gotten to the point yet of why, really. You see, Dorothy had a card ministry. A ministry of encouragement. And that's how she became famous, so to speak. She sent, it seems like, everybody a card, every situation. And her short little notes of encouragement, whether someone had been in the hospital, someone got married, someone had a baby, someone graduated, someone was just down, depressed, maybe laid off, unemployed. At that time, it seemed most of Clarion County worked at Joy Manufacturing, largest manufacturer of underground coal mining equipment in the world. At one time, it employed over 3,000 people. And while I was a teenager, it was starting to go down. And so people would be unemployed. And it seemed like everyone had gotten a card at one time or another from Dorothy. And I have never told this story in a sermon before, but I thought this week that the story of Dorothy Weaver would help you understand, ladies, and guys, I mean, don't check out today, but ladies, I want to encourage you to see from my mind's eye, back in my childhood, an ordinary lady whose life was busy, it was messy. She basically lived in a boy's dormitory. And her yard was not pretty, her house was not fancy. Most of the immediate property was gravel and garages with graders and bulldozers and backhoes, and there was pipe and all kinds of tools everywhere, and just boys. And here's what's interesting. Most of the grandchildren were girls. But that doesn't mean anything changed around Wick Weaver's property, which was located on Route 322, which happens to cross this state. And Dorothy Weaver was a woman of influence. Her legacy lives. She died many years ago, but her sons, not all of whom are Christians even now, but interestingly enough, over these decades, one by one, these boys have come to know Jesus, and their marriages are different, their children are different, and it's because of the legacy of this simple Western Pennsylvania mom, a godly woman, had six children, understood the significance of nursery ministry, a spiritual grandmother to us as children, who had a card ministry of encouragement, a mentor to young women, whether or not she even realized it. It was beautiful. She took her role as a teacher seriously, even though she wasn't a teacher, even though she wasn't really well spoken. But she was compassionate. I think everyone who looks back at the life of Dorothy Weaver realizes just how compassionate she was as an individual. Absolutely beautiful. She was a model mother who didn't pretend to have the perfect life. Many hardships. Her son, Ron, the oldest boy, got cancer and died. She made the most of her minutes. Now, being in a sermon series in Proverbs, I'm sure some of you just knew what was coming today. You could see it, couldn't you? You just knew it. All right, here it comes. Here comes this other lady, this Proverbs 31 woman. And so I thought, well, all right, they already know. So I'm going to tell this story about Dorothy Weaver and help you understand that this ordinary grandmother is indeed very much a picture of this Proverbs 31 woman. So that you can understand as a mom, as a woman of influence, whether you're a mother or not, that you can leave a lasting legacy that points other people to Jesus Christ. But I want to start by maybe giving you a surprise. Maybe sharing with you something you didn't know. Like, for example, that Proverbs 31 was originally intended for unmarried men. Did you know that? Proverbs 31 was intended for eligible bachelors. That's right. This passage the church has turned into Mother's Day apparel was really meant to be a wisdom resource for single young men. Now look at it. Page 549 in the Bible in front of you. Check it out. Proverbs 31, verse 1, the sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him. O my son, O son of my womb, O son of my vows, do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. And then verse 10, a wife of noble character who can find. She's hard to find. So, here you go, young men. Here is divine direction to aid you in your search for a wife of noble character. As you are looking, consider these things. And then onward from verse 10 through the end of the chapter. This is wisdom that works. This is the kind of woman that you should be looking for. Does that make sense? You want another surprise? This Proverbs 31 woman. Just thought I'd let you know. She's not real. She's not. In light of the original audience, and the way this chapter is laid out, we should understand that Proverbs 31 is a composite portrait of ideal womanhood. And so please do not see her as a model to imitate in every detail. Your days aren't long enough to do everything she does. See her instead as an inspiration to be a woman of influence. You can't be just like her. Your circumstances may be very different from hers. What you can do, however, is learn from her industry, integrity, and resourcefulness. When I read this passage, I see God reaching out to women and giving them a sense of calling and purpose. Helping them to realize, helping you to realize, you don't have to be famous to be influential. I see a great source of inspiration to make a difference in the world, starting right where you are. I see the potential for tremendous impact. Like Dorothy Weaver, a woman who bloomed where she was planted. I see a fountain, not a drain. I see a woman who is the delight of her family. Her husband is happy to have her as a life partner. Her children bless her. And this is not an accolade that is earned overnight, but only after years of daily deposits into the hearts, souls, and minds of her family. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth more than 1,000 shares of Amazon stock. Say, what? It says rubies. Well, I'll take 1,000 shares of Amazon stock. That's rubies. That's more than rubies. That's what it's saying. That is a modern, contemporary paraphrase of what Solomon is saying here. This woman is of supreme value. She is a wife of noble character. She surpasses wealth. Houses and influence and stocks are gained by the sweat of one's brow or inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Riches do not compare with her. And so, men, children, what a day we have to honor the women in our lives, to help them to understand how valuable they are, to take them by the hand, and to acknowledge to them the blessing that they have been to you, to your family, to the neighborhood, to the church. I can remember being at Dorothy Weaver's house and just thinking, wow, She's like feeding the entire neighborhood lunch. The place was crawling with kids that were over there to play. We played a version of kickball in her yard by the garden. And the meanest thing I ever heard her say was, "Please don't ruin my tomatoes." That's about as bad as it ever got. Otherwise, it was, "Hey, John," and out there the O's go long. "Hey, John," of course you already know that because you listen to me every week. "Hey, John, would you like another cheese sandwich? Do you want some more tomato soup?" That was Dorothy. That was the way she lived her life. Well, what is it that caused this woman to be so valuable? What is it that caused Dorothy to be so valuable? Well, let's begin with what's not there. Proverbs 31. A bit of it's on your outline. The rest of it's in the Bible there. Interestingly enough, absent from this passage or description of this woman, there's nothing that is said about her physical appearance. We have no idea what she looks like. We have no knowledge of her hairstyle, lipstick shade, her brand of perfume, kind of shoes she's wearing. We don't know how tall she is. We don't know how much she weighs. Aren't you glad? Nothing about her physical appearance that has any impact on her legacy, her influence? What do we know about her? What makes her so valuable? Why is she held in such high esteem? Well, we know that she is trustworthy, verses 10 to 12. Her husband has full confidence in her. He doesn't have to second guess her. His life, their children, all their possessions are safe in her hands. He is not concerned about whether she is careless with the family's finances, burning down the house, or whether she is faithful to him. In regard to all these things, he has perfect peace of mind. And that is a blessing to him. She is good for him, a benefit, an asset. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And today I'd like you to rehearse in your mind, in your memory, men, as you look at your mother, as you look at your wife, I want you to think of the positive and beautiful traits that are hers, and bless her for that, and thank God for her. Thank God to her. Take her to Rita's. Do something special for her. Well, how does she do this? How is she such a blessing to her family? Well, she cares for their basic needs. Domestic acts related to normal everyday living. Food and clothing, cleanliness, and so on. But I don't want you to miss what's between the lines here. When you're reading, you have to understand it's not just these activities that she does that relate to clean clothes or dishes or a well-decorated home. You have to read it in between the lines. What is it that makes these things so beautiful? It is her attitude. It is her sweet spirit. That's what makes these things so endearing. It's not just that she's trustworthy. It's the sweet spirit with which she goes about these activities that fills the house with peace and laughter and makes her family want to be at home. No mistake about it, ladies. You set the atmosphere for your home. I remember my own mother, who in just a few weeks will be 89. Wow. I remember so many times coming home from school, and I would open the door, and it wouldn't open the whole way. And then I would hear a giggle, and I would smell chocolate chip cookies. And so I always, when I smell chocolate chip cookies, I can hear my mother laughing. I come in from the bus, open the door, bam. I learned not to open the door too hard. There she was, laughing, smell of chocolate chip cookies, and joyful conversation. And I remember often leaving the house in the morning, getting on the bus, wishing that I was driving a car, not getting on the bus, but I always remember my mom said this, live for the king today. That was an old saying of Dr. Robert C. Cook back in the days of Billy Graham, early in Billy Graham's ministry. He always said that on his radio program. So she always said that to me, live for the king. And by king, she meant Jesus Christ. Ladies, you have such power in influence that can be exuded from your attitude, the way you go about living your life, investing in the next generation. I hope that in these simple and often monotonous activities, you see the great opportunity to lovingly influence your people. So much so that other people will want to be your people. I always remember thinking, I wish Dorothy Weaver was my grandma. See, because my mom's mom died when she was 11. My mom's dad married a woman who didn't really have much to do with us, and she died early. Both my grandfathers died when they were 51. I never met them. I did not have grandparents, literally, in this kind of a way. And I remember looking at Wick and Dorothy and just the brood. I always remember wishing I could go to the Weaver reunion. And after my dad was at this church for a while, they invited us. And I remember them saying to us, "You're Weavers to us." And that was to my dad's credit. And that's how I got introduced to this funky game of kickball at Dorothy's house. I hope you get what I'm saying here today. You can live your life in such a way, you can have such a sweet spirit and invest in other people that they want you to be their grandma. They want you to be someone influential in their life. I hope that you can see clearly enough to recognize the masterpiece through the mess that's called life. When he was a boy, the great painter Benjamin West decided to paint a picture of his sister while his mother was not at home. He got out the bottles of ink and he started in. But soon he just had an awful mess. His mother eventually returned and, of course, saw the wreck that he had made of things. And as she entered the room and he looked at her and wondered, like, whoa, what's going to happen? Immediately, she thought on her feet. She scooped up the portrait. She said to Benjamin, "What a beautiful, beautiful picture of your sister." Now, mind you, there's ink everywhere. "What a beautiful, beautiful picture of your sister." And she leaned over and she kissed him. It was later in his life that Benjamin West shared with a friend, "With that kiss, I became a painter." Never underestimate the power of your influence. She's trustworthy. She cares for the basic needs of her family. She's industrious. Proverbs says she considers a field, buys it out of her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. She's busy making clothes for her family and to sell. She's hardworking. She's productive. She's prudent. She's conscientious. Now, the average woman may or may not be all of these things. That's not the point. The point is that she makes the most of her minutes. And she considers life around her, circumstances, opportunities around her, takes advantage of them. She is full of compassion. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. I can remember Dorothy Weaver talking about one of my friends at school, who I did not really know, came from a very difficult home life, very difficult home situation, and she would pray for him, and she would talk to me about this boy in the nursery sometimes when I helped, and she would tell me to pray for him by name, and she wanted him to come to church. And I don't know, I think I'm in junior high. And she got so burdened for this boy, come from a poor home, don't think there was a father in the home. All of a sudden, I find out she's helping this family with food and befriending them. And she's basically providing a ride through her husband, who did cooperate with that sort of thing, for this boy to come to church. Next thing I know, I'm in junior high Sunday school class, and this kid's sitting right with us. And I'm thinking, how did he get here? You know, be honest, sometimes you see people come into church and you think, wow. Right? Well, sometimes they think that of you. Well, that's the way I thought. I thought of this boy, and then I realized, I get it. It's Grandma Dorothy. She's at it again. She's full of compassion. Do you want to be a woman of influence? Put two and two together here. Take the initiative to find ways to involve your family in caring for those who are less fortunate. And do it in such a way that does not embarrass them or make them feel less fortunate. Don't just help them. Get to know them. Love them. Have them for dinner. Feed the neighborhood. Do whatever God tells you to do. Number five, she has planned for the future. She is not idle. When winter comes, she's not concerned. Her family has warm clothing. She can laugh at the days to come. This is the fruit of trust in the Lord and hard work. She does not simply believe in God. She believes God, meaning that she takes God at His word. She has done her part in preparing for the days ahead, and now she will trust God to take care of the rest. Be still and know that I am God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And finally, what do we know about this woman? She takes her role as a teacher seriously. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She takes personal responsibility for the spiritual welfare of others, particularly her own family. Read to your children. Read to your grandchildren. Pray with your children. Pray with your grandchildren. Make the most of teachable moments. Let your children, your grandchildren, remember that you directed them to the Bible, that you told them that you love them. You know, don't be like the husband. His wife says, "My husband never tells me he loves me. He never gives me that kind of affection." And the husband says, Well, I told her that once. I haven't changed my mind. You know, when I said I do, I said I do. God did not make women that way, gentlemen. They want to hear it every day. At least every other day. And your children, ladies, gentlemen, your children need to know that you're proud of them. I don't care what they did 25 years ago. I don't care what they did 10 years ago. Get over it. You were a bonehead one time too, right? Huh? Your kids, they need to know. You're proud of them. You need to understand the way God made them, the way that they are wired, and let it go. My boys are as different as day and night. Our Andy, our second son, he was born old. I mean, he was born old. I mean, he's already, you know, his whole life is planned out. You know? Then there's Matt. The older Matt gets, the more I understand. God made him this way. And he's a free spirit. He cannot get enough of the world. He's the kind of kid that gets on a bike and will ride 6,000 miles or 2,000 miles in a different country of which he knows nothing about. Aren't you afraid you're going to die? He says, "We're all going to die someday." So he's riding across Europe. I said, "You don't even know anyone." "I know one person, his friend Leon. I went to his wedding." "You don't know anyone else." "Well, I'll just have you know, he's home this weekend. He's alive." Right, he's alive. He's not asking me for any money. Okay? You gotta celebrate. Bless them. Don't walk around thinking, you know, "Oh, I don't want him to get a big head or anything, you know." No. You will crush them. You will crush them. You need to celebrate with them. Bless them, encourage them. Tell them that you love them. Be proud of them. be their biggest cheerleaders. Yeah, they're sinners. Just like you were and just like you are. What a opportunity we have to be people of influence and to take the divine direction that is given us in God's Word and the wisdom that works from Proverbs to leave a legacy that will go on for eternity. It's our choice, right? I'm going to go home to my gang today and make my decisions. You're going to go home to your gang, make your decisions. Make moments that will honor God and bless the people that He's given to you. And may the story of Dorothy Weaver linger in your mind as it lingers in mine. Amen.